Chris Aberg, thank you very much for speaking with us. Can you talk a little bit about what happened yesterday in Lawrence County, what happened in Bedford and with the Lawrence County commissioners with regards to the attempt to shut down the needle exchange program that is operated by the Indiana Recovery Alliance in Lawrence County?
The short of it is that the two of the commissioners, at least, in choosing to not second the motion, abandoned people who are struggling to die. In doing that, Commissioner Fish specifically quoted the Old Testament. It's actually a quote that had to do with locusts and pestilence, and suggested that while he didn't know of any other public options, that this was an option: prayer for the wicked.
And so it sounds like that commissioner ended up seeing people addicted to heroin or people addicted to other substances as a kind of pestilence that had descended upon Lawrence County.
That's the way the Bible quote reads. Our main objection, I mean, there are many objections to that, but to have public health policy driven by interpretations of Old Testament verses seems not very wise nor compassionate. We think that there are other readings that would suggest that Christians might minister to the sick, might love those who are cast to the least positions in society, and welcome and love people.
And can you explain for our listeners exactly what happened in Lawrence County yesterday?
So we started there about a year ago. In that year, we signed a contract, and the contract didn't have any financial incentive for us. And we had hoped we would go back. We knew that we would have to renew the contract after a year. So when we went back to renew, our plan was to inform them, you know, that 52 overdoses had been reported. So that's 52 people who might otherwise have died, didn't, in Lawrence County. And also that their hepatitis C rates, from preliminary numbers, at least from the Indiana State Department of Health, had been halved. So it went from about 188 per 100,000 to, I believe, 89 per 100,000, just in 1 year. So we had expected actually to go in there and maybe even be congratulated for the work that we had done, the lives that we had saved, and perhaps get some financial assistance. Instead, we went in there and were met with rhetoric and moral condemnation, judgment for people who use drugs, and as far as I could see, just a lack of compassion for the issue. Six or seven people stood up, including doctors, academics, public servants, experts in the field, and citizens, and expressed their support for, you know, harm reduction in general. One person expressed dismay, the prosecutor, and in fact went so far as to suggest that people who use drugs that were concerned about their health could go to Rural King and get their syringes there, which, if anyone goes to Rural King, those are livestock syringes, completely inappropriate for human use. And the implications of, I just don't understand, dehumanizing in a new level, right? Suggesting that people could use livestock instruments. So that's what happened. It's unfortunate. It shows how deep the stigma is. It shows how criminalization of drug users, you know, ultimately leads to policies that increase death and infection. And this is for the whole community is going to suffer from this. Unfortunately, public health doesn't compartmentalize itself. So while we can other people, we can't other public health. This will affect the community as a whole.
And Chris, what can you tell our listeners about kind of the state of affairs when it comes to primarily opioid addiction in Lawrence County, which includes Bedford? What can you tell us about what it is that that looks like on the ground, and what are the people that you end up working with? You had mentioned 52 cases of overdoses that had been treated by Indiana Recovery Alliance.
Sure. So I can definitely address that Lawrence County was 15th in the state for hepatitis C prevalence. And what we know about that, according to the Center for Disease Control, is that that is the key indicator for likelihood of an HIV outbreak, such as happened in Scott County. Now, attendant with that hepatitis C rates are of course, increased overdose rates throughout the state. We also know that the fastest growing population of IV drug use is between 15 and 24-year-old white rural youth, and also the fastest growing population of new hepatitis C infections is among that same group. So the profile is there. Lawrence County certainly meets the hepatitis C epidemic qualifications. And it is literally not a if it's going to get worse, but when and how much. Overall, experts tend to think that by 2021, 500,000 people will have died just from opiate overdose. What we're trying to do is diminish that, right? We're trying to reduce the amount of death and infection. We have solid evidence that shows that our program does that. Lawrence County is most definitely at risk for even more severe public health and economic consequences. The only scientific, data-driven program that we know of that addresses that, that didn't cost them any money at all, was unceremoniously denied to continue its operation based on moral indignation.
And Chris, you end up talking a lot about what the Indiana Recovery Alliance does is harm reduction. Can you explain what harm reduction is and what is the point of harm reduction services or harm reduction tactics when it comes to combating epidemic spreads of things like hepatitis C and HIV outbreaks?
Sure. It's a very simple idea. Harm reduction suggests that we should move towards any positive change. And what I mean by that is that for example, we have about around 2,000 participants. So if we can get each of those participants to make small positive health changes in their lives, those will have cumulative effects, not only for their individual health, but also for the community as a whole.
So what would be one of those positive changes that you would expect a community member that is in contact with the Indiana Recovery Alliance? What would end up being a positive effect of a harm reduction technique?
So a positive effect would be understanding transmission of hepatitis C and the various routes that it might take. So learning about the epidemiological necessity of handing out cookers and tourniquets and waters, because those are also modes of transmission for disease. That's harm reduction in an educational sense. Actually supplying people with clean syringes and instructing them on how to be safe. Giving out naloxone and preventing death. You know, even it's everything from that all the way to helping people find housing, allowing people to enter into the healthcare system without fear of being judged or having the police called on them, advocating for Good Samaritan laws so people can call 911 without fear of being arrested when their friends are overdosing. All those things are harm reduction. And your listeners, they engage in harm reduction every day. Something as simple as putting a seatbelt on. Right? So driving a car is an inherently risky choice that we make every day. And we can mitigate some of those negative health outcomes by wearing a seatbelt.